Well, happy 4th of July. We celebrate our independence, but in reality, we are utterly dependent on the Lord. Amen. I thought about this message title, but it's what He gave me, and so you're just stuck with it. Armed and ready. Armed and ready. I'm a Second Amendment kind of guy. I find it a little strange that all these people that are anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment, are celebrating today a holiday won by citizens with guns. Just saying. Just throwing that out there. Armed and ready. And today we celebrate our independence from the rule of the British. I believe we need to look at the fact that just because we call ourselves one nation under God does not necessarily mean that we are one nation under God. The statistic used to be that somewhere around 65% of Americans no longer believe that God's Word is the absolute truth. That number has grown to somewhere around 85 or 90%, Lord Jesus. So, we got to get back to the truth of God's Word and to believe that, listen, if it says it in this book, it's not my job to decide whether I'm going to agree with it that it's true or right. It is my job to say, you know, it is your word, it is absolute truth, and whether I like what it says. How many of you know that sometimes God's word can get a little nasty with us? You ever been to the woodshed? I used to take my boys to the woodshed all the time, and they didn't like it. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is one of the challenges that God through Peter has laid down. He's given us a challenge. He's given us a bit of an explanation, and then He's given us instruction. Listen to what it says. 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 8 and 9. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Well, because your adversary, that's somebody that don't like you. That's somebody that's coming against you. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Here's the plan. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, throughout the world, around the world. We're not the only ones that are going through it. And so, we have to know that as soldiers wait and watch, and as believers, we have to constantly be on the alert for the enemy. He will take any opportunity that he gets to take you out. He will do anything he can to sidetrack you, to derail you. All the persecution that faces us as believers ultimately comes down from one source, and that's the devil. The reality is he is the source of all evil in the world. He hates God, and he is in fact God's archenemy. And if he's God's enemy, then he hates God's people. He hates you and I. He's your enemy as well. And while Satan has no power against God, he does what he can to harm God's people. He does whatever he can to disrupt your life, to bring confusion, to bring distraction. How many of you know we've been talking a lot about distractions? He'll use anything to distract you. Peter describes him as a prowling like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You ever watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom? So Marlon Perkins, remember that dude? And his buddy Jim? Jim was always barefoot, running through the... And Marlon Perkins is in the background encouraging Jim to jump on the 29-foot-long anaconda. Just get him, Jim! Grab him! And poor old Jim. Okay, Marlon. Jumping out of helicopters. That guy was crazy. You ever notice that when lions are hunting, they don't ever hunt for the biggest and the strongest in the bunch? Them wilder beasts, old Weird Elmer back there dragging his leg along, he's in trouble. Let me bring it a little closer to home. The young ones, the babies, those that we protect the most, are easy pickings for the lions. Is it any wonder why the youth of today are battling everything that they're battling? Is because he knows they're fashionable, they're moldable, they're in that stage of life where that the most easy to change their course of direction is right now. They're vulnerable. And if somebody ain't standing up and speaking the truth of God's Word into their life, they're liable to run any different direction. But God said there's only one way. Peter describes him as a roaring lion. At the same time that believers can cast all their cares on God, we must still be self-controlled and alert. Self-controlled. Let me bring these words to you another way. Because they can be translated this way. Pay attention. Wake up. You ever been sitting in a classroom? Drifting off? Had an 8th grade health teacher throw a book from the front of the class to the back of the class and drill me right in the head. Mr. Sperling. He was a good dude. I love that guy. But buddy, he didn't put up with nonsense. Probably could have sued him, but you know what? He was just doing his job, in my opinion. I didn't nod off the rest of that day. I was attentive. Pay attention. Wake up. Urgently commanding the believers that for the warning must be heard. That's my job. That's what I do here every Sunday. I do my best to hear from the Lord on what He would have me to say. And as we've done already here once today, and we're going to do it again pretty soon, is I'm giving somebody a way of escape. I'm giving somebody a way to avoid the penalties of hell and the pleasures of heaven. I don't care if you've heard it 100 times over. If you come back next Sunday, you're going to hear it again. It's going to be wrapped in a different package, but the message is going to be the same. Peter gives the admonition in chapter 4 and verse 7 regarding prayer. He says this, the end of all things is near. Listen, you don't have to be a theologian to figure that out. This world is running amok, man. There's things just going all different kind of way. And this prayer, it radiates through the ages. The end of all things is near. And therefore, be clear-minded. Be self-controlled so that you can pray. So that you can pray. Why do we pray? Because our prayer is communication. It's fellowship with God. Amen? That's what he wants us to do. And Paul also urges the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. He says, be alert. Be self-controlled. Do you see the theme? This is a whole different guy. This is Paul. The first one was Peter. They're saying the same thing. Why? Because it's God's message. I'm saying the same thing. Pay attention. Be alert. Be self-controlled. Be ready. Both of these words refer to not being lazy in your faith. Don't be lazy in your faith. You have to maintain discipline and steadfastness. As I was praying for one of those that were up here this morning, I said, "You, there's something of your life that is tenacious. Do you know what tenacious means? Well, no, not really. Well, let me describe it for you this way. Tenacity is giving a pit bull a T-bone steak and then trying to take it away from him. Good luck with that. That's being tenacious. Peter warned believers to be alert for Satan, especially in times of suffering and persecution. He walks up and down the earth seeking whom he or his demons can attack and defeat. Look again with me in the Old Testament at Job chapter 1 and verse 7. This is an interesting passage. And the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? Like he didn't know. From where do you come? And so Satan answered the Lord and said this, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Doing what? Looking for us. Doing whatever he can to distract us, disrupt us, kill us, destroy us, get us off track. So to withstand the attack, we have to depend on the strength that we derive through the Holy Spirit and use every piece of the armor that God has provided for us. Paul was not only giving this counsel to the church, the body of Christ, but to all the individuals within the church. And listen, it's true for us today. Amen? It's true for us today. The whole body needs to be armed. The whole body needs to be protected. As we battle against the powers of the darkness of this world, to be successful, we need to fight in the strength of the church, whose power comes from the Holy Spirit of God. That's where we get our power. Acts chapter 1 talks about it in verse 8. You will be endued with power. Dunamis, that's where we get our word dynamite. Woo! And all the guys said, amen. Because there's just something about blowing stuff up we really like. We like dunamis. That same power that we receive through the Holy Spirit, God has put that inside of every one of us, and He wants to use it to disrupt. How many of you know when an explosion goes off, more than just what's being blown up moves? When an explosion takes place, residual shock waves. The shock waves from that concussion go everywhere, and stuff. Listen, are we sending out shock waves from our life? Are we praying? I saw a deal the other day. Said, I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that when a mosquito bites me, he flies away singing Power in the Blood. Woo! Isn't that amazing? I mean, are we sending shockwaves out? Does the devil freak out when you wake up? When your feet hit the floor, oh Lord, oh, they're up again. Oh no, that sounds like knees on the floor. They're praying. Are you sending shock waves through the kingdom of darkness. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. As we battle against the powers of this dark world, we need to be successful because of whose power is within us, the Holy Spirit. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, if I didn't give you that. Finally, not that it's the end, not that he's done, but finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That word wiles can also be translated schemes. The schemes of... He's a schemer. He's a schemer of the enemy. The wiles and schemes of the devil. I want to show you and explain to you the pieces of this armor. We did an in-depth Bible study a few months ago on the armor of God, and it was a powerful time. But I just want to refresh you this morning at the different pieces of the armor that God has given us and what God's armor is and what the application is. And the first one is the belt of truth, because Satan fights with lies. Amen? He fights with lies, and sometimes his lies sound like truth. Sometimes his lies sound like truth. But only as believers do we have God's truth, and with which we can defeat the lies of the enemy. How about the breastplate of righteousness? Satan often attacks your heart, the seat of your emotions, your self-worth, and your trust. God's righteousness is the breastplate that protects our heart and ensures His approval. He approves of us because He loves us and He sent His Son to die for us. Remember what I've said before. The value of an object is determined by the price that someone is willing to pay for you, for that object. And when God saw you and I, He sent the only thing that there was nothing more value than, and that was the life of His Son to purchase you, to redeem you. That ought to tell you something. So, having your feet shod with the preparation and the readiness of the gospel. Satan wants us to think that telling others the good news is a worthless and a hopeless task. Well, can I just tell you? If you're sharing the good news with somebody and one person through your whole life, only one person gets saved, can I tell you something? To that one person, they're making heaven their home, and it paid off in their life. He wants you to think that what you're saying is worthless and hopeless. The size of the task. Let me talk about the size of a task. Right out in that parking lot in the next number of months, we're going to build a building right out there. And it's going to cost money. It's going to be expensive. And when they throw out numbers, it will rock you back on your heels until we realize that just because the task seems monumental, God is bigger than all of that. Because if God's guiding us to that place, God's going to provide for that place. Amen? And so we have to join our faith together. We've got to build our faith up together with one another and say, you know what? In Jesus' name, we know that thing's done. We're meeting this next week with architect and with another building company to talk to us about exactly what that's going to look like, exactly how it's going to come to pass. I'm asking every one of you to pray that God will make a way where there seems to be no way, because the task is so big. People will tell you, listen, that's too big. Listen, man, are you kidding me? With this little handful of people? Let me tell you what God can do with this little handful of people. God said, I'll provide. Amen? The size of the task is too big and the negative responses are too much to handle. But our feet being shod with the preparation, with the foot gear, with the shoes that God has given us in the Spirit gives us the motivation to continue to proclaim the true peace that is available in God. News everyone needs to hear. You're not going to find peace on CNN. You ain't even going to find it on Fox News, MSNBC, or any of the rest of them. The only place you're going to find peace is at the feet of Jesus. Then there's the shield of faith. See, what we see are Satan's attacks from in the form of anybody ever been insulted? Insults hurt. How about this? How about this? Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me. There has never been a bigger lie perpetrated into our children and into our society, into our world than that. Because listen, George, I can bring you up here and I can take one of these mic stands and I could beat the tar out of you, leave knots and welts and maybe even broken bones all over you. But you know what? They will heal up. The scars will fade away. The bruises will diminish. But if I bring you up here and call you everything but a milk cow, I mean derate you, tell you how useless and worthless you are. You are never going to, and some of us have heard these things, you're never going to amount to a hill of beans. You ain't worth a plug nickel. Can I tell you something? You can't see that on the outside. But the damage that's being done internally in your spirit. Church, be careful what we say to our children and to our grandchildren. And can I take it a step further? To one another? To one another? That's why we have family time. It ain't that we don't have something else to do. It ain't that we're just trying to kill time. It's an opportunity to get around and tell somebody, hey, love you today. Pray God's blessing on your life. Good to see you here. Haven't never seen you. There's people here today, never been here before. I'm grateful that they're here. I'm glad that they're here. I'm tickled clear to death. Insults, setbacks, and temptation. Nobody's dealing with that one probably, temptations. But the shield of faith protects us from Satan's flaming darts. And with God's perspective, we can begin to see beyond. Listen, here's what we need, is the ability to be able to see beyond our circumstance and know ultimate victory is ours. Well, Ray, how you doing today? Well, under the circumstances, Pastor, I'm not doing too bad. Well, Ray, are you a child of God? Yes. Are you a king's kid? Yes. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? Because He's called us to be above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. Listen, Judy, my neighbor, wherever she went, there she's back there, used to have milk cows. I've experienced the tail. Anybody experienced that? You ain't lived till you've been slapped upside the head by a green tail on a brown cow. You know what I'm saying? Some of you will get that on the way home. We're the head and not the tail. The victory, ultimately, is ours because of the shield of faith. How about the helmet of salvation? Satan wants to make us doubt God, Jesus, and our salvation. The helmet protects our minds from doubting God's saving work for us. How about the sword? How about the sword? I like this one. The sword is the only weapon of offense in this list of armor. There are times when we need to take the offensive against the enemy. When we are tempted, we need to trust in the truth of God's Word. If God said it, I believe it, that settles it. He's the author and the finisher of my faith, and He does not need an editor. So with the armor, only with the armor will believers be able to withstand, which is a word that describes standing against great opposition. Some of us need to understand what I just said. Because some of us are under great opposition. The opposition of the enemy to stop you and I from becoming the men and women that God has designed us to be. God has created in us and wired us for specific things. God wants to use us to fulfill those things. Why? To enhance and to grow His kingdom. That's what He's done it for. And He knows what every one of them is. And I have a hunch that the enemy knows a little bit about that as well. And he does everything he can to stop you from being and understanding what it is that God has for you. But as Christian soldiers, we must be able to hold our ground and not flee or surrender under the attacks of the enemy. Let me tell you something about the armor. As we read through those pieces of armor, there isn't one for your back. The breastplate had hooks, if you will, that draped over your shoulders. And it protected your vital organs. Because Jesus never meant for us to retreat. We've never been called to run from the fight. The armor is for the offensive. The armor is for going forward. The armor is for engaging in the battle, to stand our ground, to not flee, to not surrender under the attack. There, the evil day in verse 13 refers to the hours of trials that have within themselves the seed of the last and greatest trials. And as Christians must prepare for every day's conflict with the forces of evil. Listen, if you think you're going to get through a day without the enemy coming against you and attacking you, you are living a pipe dream. The very fact that you're out of bed bothers him. I've ministered and listened to people and, well, Pastor, I'm just so close to Jesus that the devil just doesn't ever even bother me at all. Really? Ain't my job to doubt or anything their salvation, but all I know is that, man, the more I try and serve the Lord, the closer I try and get to Jesus, the more hell I catch. Just saying. We have to be prepared. Are you prepared? Did you pray before you came to church this morning that God would speak to you in some way, that somehow or another you could be a blessing to somebody? Or did you just get up out of bed this morning, down a couple cups of coffee, maybe a biscuit and or a bagel or a fried egg and some bacon? Glory to God on the bacon. Hallelujah. And come in here and flop down, and I'm not saying about you, I'm just... Move me, preacher. Move me. I'm here today for you to touch me. I'm here for you to fill me up today, preacher. Hey, here's a clue. That ain't my job. Wait for that to sink in. That ain't my job. You know what my Bible says? My Bible says you study to show yourself approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't come in here expecting me to give you so much, such a good sermon. Oh, good sermon. So wonderful. That sermon was so good, preacher, I don't even have to come to Wednesday night service. Yeah, I mean, that puppy's going to last me all the way through till Sunday, and I'll come back in here, and you're going to fill me up again. You are wrong. I ain't that good. I ain't that good, and it ain't my job. We have to prepare for every day's conflict. You got to get your sorry self out of bed every morning and put your armor on. God help me. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate, the belt, the boots, my loins gird, my feet shod, my sword ready. You got to do that for you every day, because if you don't, you're going to get wounded. You're going to get beat up. You might get mortally wounded. prepare for the it's a nice sunny day. There ain't going to be any problems. Guess what? That in itself is a problem. The whole passage lends further support to the perspective to stand against. It means to hold at bay aggressively or to stand in front of and to oppose. That word resist isn't just some nice little word. It is a military term that says that you are to stand in direct opposition, that you are to fight against the onslaughts of the enemy. You are to take up a position of offense against the enemy. Listen to this. The word wrestle. In verse 12, the word wrestle means to, and you might not even like this either, but it means to actively engage actively in one-on-one combat. Isn't that what we love the most about wrestling? It's mano and mano. If you went out on the wrestling mat and got it handed to you, that's on you. One of two things. Either you didn't perform well, or he just was outmatched you. And I mean, isn't that the end of it? You can't say, well, you know what? Ray didn't throw me the ball. I mean, I was wide open. He did not throw me the ball. That's why we lost. Mike didn't block for me. That's why that guy got me. No. You and him. You might have to engage actively in one-on-one combat. And then it gets even farther than that, and it says to stand in verse 13. And that means to be found standing after the battle. Stand therefore. It means to stand after the battle. Like what else have you got? That's literally what it's talking about here. After you've fought the fight, you are to stand. Stand therefore. For what? For the next battle. What do you have? What are you bringing toward me? Because I'm here for you. To be found standing after the battle. And then verse 14, there's the word stand, which means to take your stand for the next battle. And Ephesians, listen to what it says. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplates of righteousness. But in order to stand, therefore, in the heat of the battle, you need every piece of the armor. Football players do not go out on the field without a helmet. Football players don't go out on the field and as a lineman or a defender or a running back or a receiver without the proper shoes on, because they will not have the traction to do the job that they're called to do. Amen. Listen, as the belt formed the foundation of the soldier's armor, the truth is the foundation of the Christian life. The truth refers to the believer's character as a person who can be relied on for the truth. Here's just a little something. If you come to me and ask me a question, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you the truth. My wife will say, how did you like dinner? I told her 30 years ago that I was going to tell her the truth. I don't like it. Well, what didn't you like? So I tell her. She does her best not to do that anymore. Unless it's... Guys, help me with this. But it's healthy. It's healthy. I don't like it, but it's good for you. I just shut up and eat it. Look how healthy I am, though. Like, I'll tell you what. I am a shining example of health. Isn't that funny, though? The things that don't taste all that good are the best for you. What is that about? I went down to Tommy's and had me a raspberry milkshake yesterday. I'm pretty sure it wasn't good for me, but man, was it yummy. Kudos, Tommy. Good job, buddy. Amen. Keep belting them out. Where am I at, Steve?
I'm talking about my wife. She's in children's church, and hopefully we've got enough insulation she can't hear exactly what I'm saying in here. I'll just talk real quiet like this, and nobody will know anything about it. Listen. It refers, the truth that we're talking about refers to the believer's character as a person who can be relied on for the truth. You remember the times that I've talked about the pastor and the guy that were trying to get me saved? And I said, if you come to my house, I'll beat the tar out of you. Remember that? That's him. That's him right there. Him and the pastor. You willing to get beat up for somebody to get saved? Yep. Told me things I didn't want to hear. But it was truth. And the truth will set you free. And I've been set free because of the truth. And because of that, I want to be one who can be relied on to tell you the truth. It certainly refers to the truth of God's Word and His message in the Gospel. And if we could not be absolutely sure of our faith, if we were not sure that Jesus is the truth, according to John 14 and 6, then there would be little use for the armor or in attempting to fight in any battle. But here's the reality. God's truth, as revealed to us through Christ Jesus, forms the foundation of victorious Christian living. Let me tell you something. You know that I have failed miserably from time to time. I have. But you know what? There was a foundation laid underneath me of truth that does not get shaken. It remains to this day. And you can rebuild upon the truth. You can rebuild. Suppose you were in a fight to the death with somebody and you held a sword in your hand, and in the middle of the conflict, your opponent says, "Hey, you call that puny thing a sword? It doesn't look like much of a sword to me. The fact is, I don't think it's a sword at all." Would you drop your weapon? Would you try and fight without it? Heck no, you wouldn't. Yet often we as Christians surrender our weapons to a skeptical world. Well, does God's Word really say that? Yep, it really does say that. Well, you know, Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. Oh, yes, He is. In chapter 6, 14 through 17, Paul describes our weaponry, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the footwear of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's an impressive display of armament, regardless of who believes it. And as we engage in spiritual conflict, make sure we have and use all the weapons that God makes available to us. The Word of God is the gospel. It's the good news. It brings peace. Is there turmoil in your life? God's Word brings peace. God's Spirit is Jehovah Shalom. He brings peace. In other words, believers are ready for the battle because the peace of God, according to Philippians 4 and 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Listen, church, we can stand firm. We can stand firm, even in hand-to-hand combat, because we know what we are doing is right and we are on the winning side. We win. I've read the back of the book. We win. Christians are in a battle with the inner peace that Christ has already given us and the desire to produce that peace in the hearts of others. It only can happen one way. And that is as we share the gospel of peace with those who have not yet heard and accepted it. It's why you're here today. It's why I'm here today, because my desire, my life, is wrapped around sharing the good news with you.
No better day in my life than when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. When the truth and the peace of God ruled in my life. And let me close with this. John chapter 8 and verse 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. This is Independence Day. Are you independent from a British tyrannical rule? Or are you celebrating your independence from a life of sin and of bondage and of turmoil and all those kinds of things? Jesus spoke of a different freedom, that of the soul set free from sin. He pointed out that they did indeed need to be set free because everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Jesus goes on to explain the difference between a slave and a son. A slave has no permanent standing in his master's household because he or she can be sold to a different master at any time. But a son always has a place in the family. Remember the prodigal? Remember that guy? Remember what he did? Took his inheritance, went to a faraway land, wasted it on riotous, prodigal living. When he finally came to himself, what did he say? I just want to go back to Dad's house. No longer, listen, remember what he said. No longer as a son. I just want to get a job. I want to work for Dad for a paycheck because his servants eat better than I'm. And here I am in a pig pen. But I love the Father. The Father said, no. This son of mine that was lost has come home. Get the robe, get the ring, put the shoes on his feet, kill the fatted calf. We're fixing to have a barbecue. We are going to celebrate because my boy has come home. A son always has a place in the family. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 says this, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. What would the prodigal's life have been like if he'd have taken his inheritance and served others with it instead of spending it on riotous living, on sin, and all those kinds of things? Listen, Jesus is waiting for you to come home. He's waiting for you to come home. He's waiting for you to walk in the freedom that only He can offer. I believe with all my heart that father was sitting on the front porch. And when that boy walked off around that corner, that dad was probably weeping as his boy went around that bend down the road and he could see him no more. And I believe that father stood there and he waited day after day, night after night, looking at that spot where the boy went around that corner. And one day, there is a form come around that corner. That looks like my boy. That is my boy. And that dad, that father, put all of his stature in the community, he put all of who he represented aside. And the Bible said he girded himself. That means he hiked up his, well, it was kind of like a dress, actually, what he was wearing. And he hiked that thing up and he jumped off the porch and he ran. A man of his stature did not run in those days. But he ran. Get the picture of the kid. He's a mess. Where'd he just come from? A pig pen. Feeding, slopping hogs. I've slopped hogs before in my life. And they don't just sit patiently and wait for you to pour it in the bucket, in the straw. They're jumping on the fence. They're kicking mud and stuff. Hello?
and it gets on you. And it got on him, and he was a mess. And his father didn't let a bit of that bother him. He just threw his arms around his boy and hugged his boy and said, "All that which was lost has been found. Let's celebrate." Can I tell you this? As I continue to try and close. Come on, Kathy. Jesus is waiting for you to come home and to walk in the freedom that only He can offer. The Bible says that when one sinner gets saved, that the angels in heaven rejoice. Amen? It's Independence Day. Yes, I'm a patriotic American. I love the United States of America, and I am not ashamed to say that. I love that flag. I celebrate today the men and women that have died defending that flag, that have given their lives on foreign soil to protect the freedoms that we enjoy in America today. There's another one that gave their life so that you would have life, that you would have freedom, and His name is Jesus. And He died a horrible death on an old rugged cross. His blood was shed to wash your sins away. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow because of the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that can make me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. Just because grandma and grandpa was pastors and you've come to church your whole life don't mean you're going to make heaven your home. Sitting in a church don't make you any more a Christian than sitting in your garage makes you an automobile. There's but one way to make heaven your home. And that is by saying, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Forgive me. Cleanse me." Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning, would you? I want you to know today, nothing you've ever done has been so bad that you can't be forgiven. Jesus didn't put any stipulations on it. He just simply said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Period. John 3:16 said, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever..." Who's that? You are whosoever. "That whosoever believes on Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life." The question this morning is, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you done with the turmoil in your life? Are you ready to make a commitment to Jesus Christ? It's not hard. It's not scary. It's the only thing, truly, that is absolutely free, but will cost you absolutely everything. He wants your heart. He wants to redeem you. He wants to restore you. He wants to forgive you. If you're listening to me today and if the Holy Spirit is ministering to your heart, you feel that tugging inside. There's just something stirring within you and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today is your day. Joshua said in chapter 24 of the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, "Choose you this day whom you're going to serve." And Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And I'm echoing the words
of Joshua today and asking you to choose today whom you're going to serve. Well, Pastor, do I have to choose today? Yes, you do. Here's another reality that you may or may not like. By not choosing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, by default, you choose the devil. There's only two options. You either choose Jesus or by default, you're under the authority of the enemy himself. You might have walked for years away from Jesus, but it takes one step and a turnaround to be right back with Jesus. Today He's asking you to come just as you are, from whatever has been in your life. And He's asking you to just confess. If that's you today, if you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today I want to. Today I want to be redeemed from all of the life of hell that I've lived. I want my sins washed away." If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to muster all the strength that you can. The Holy Ghost will help you. And I want you to just simply slip your hand up because I want to pray with you today. I want to pray with you today because it's important. It's important. My job, my life is to see people redeemed. Anybody at all say, "Preacher, that's me." Listen, maybe you're here today. I don't know what compelled you to come here, but the reality is you're here. And it's not on accident that you're here. It's a divine appointment with God that you're here today. And if you're like me, I got saved time after time after time after time, and time after time after time, I walked away from the Lord. But He kept calling me back, and maybe today you're here in this place and the Lord is calling you back. And He's asking you today, "Will you serve me? Will you surrender your life to me one more time? Will you rededicate, recommit, however you want to look at it, your life to me?" If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I want to recommit my life to the Lord. I want to make God, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And Pastor, with everything within me, I'm going to do my best to serve the Lord from this day forward." If that's you, slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Somebody else say, "Preacher, that's me. I've been away from the Lord." It doesn't matter what you've been doing. The reality is, I see your hand, sir. You can put it down. Somebody else today say, "Listen, man. God, I've been far away from you. But you've been gracious. You've been sitting out on the front porch waiting for me to come around the corner. And Father, today, I'm coming around the corner. Are you looking?" Yes, I'm looking, son. Will you acknowledge me? Anybody else today say, "Preacher, that's me. I'm coming around the corner. I'm coming home to my Father." Anybody else? Anybody else today say, "Preacher, that's me." Maybe you're watching by way of the internet today, and I can't tell whether you've raised your hand or not. But I do know one thing. The Lord knows. And you know. And I'm gonna pray in just a moment for these that have raised their hand. And if you'll pray with us, I promise you that the same God that is going to set them free and restore their life will restore you right where you are in your home. If you'll just pray and believe. Pray and believe. If you're in this house this morning, you raised your hand, I want you to get up and come right here with me. Come on. Get up here and come right here. Come on right here. couple of tough guys. Surrendering. Because we know, regardless of how strong we are, how tough we think we are, the enemy is vicious. And we can look around. We've been influenced by the world. I've been influenced by the world. And if I'm not extremely careful, I can fall right back into that rut every time. This is Jonesy. Jonesy's a log truck driver, just like me. And I've waved at him every day. If I pull three trips and if I see him three times, I wave at you three times. I've never said, Jonesy, you need to come to church or any of that. I never said any of that. I just tried to let my light shine. Today, because somebody talked with him, Rich. See, don't let the devil tell you that you can't be used. He's using you. He's using us. It works. Lead by example. Sometimes you don't have to use words. You followed your wife in here. Here you are. All tattooed up. Curly guy. Nice beard. Wonderful beard, brother. But a heart that was, I'm imagining, hard. Bible talks about, 40 years of rock hard. But the Bible says this, that He will take that heart of stone out and replace it with a heart of flesh. See, the Bible talks about the Lord being a potter and we're the clay. He wants to mold us and He wants to make us into what He has desired for us to be all these years. Jonesy, the Lord loves you. And I hope this is the Lord because this is what I feel. But I feel like the Lord wants for you to kind of pick up the same mantle that I've had and carry on. You're out there. You're dealing with those guys. Wave at them. Smile at them. Love on people. That's what Jesus would do. He wants us to love on people. I've battled my emotions all day today. I was so honored that you would come. And Rich kind of forewarned me. Jonesy might show up. I was like, my faith, you know. But when you came, man, you came. And God wants to use every one of us to make a difference. And you know what? You're never going to be the same after today. Never. I don't know where you work. I don't know what you do. But I know this. God is going to set a light inside of you. And you're going to begin to illuminate wherever you are at. God is going to put words in your mouth. God is going to give you opportunities to share this same gospel that I've shared today with people. And they're going to come to know the Lord because of you guys. Because of the impression. Because of the example that you have set. Amen? Listen, guys. Hold my hand. I want you to pray this prayer with me, and I want you to pray it right out loud, just like the men that we are. We're not timid, we're not bashful, and we're not shy. We're going to declare this. If you're watching today by way of the internet, and you've raised your hand for this altar call, I'm going to ask you to declare this today, and you will be saved just like they are. pray this prayer. Say, Dear Lord, come into my heart. Change my life. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. And I declare from this day forward, I will serve You with all of my life. I thank You for saving me this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Woo! Yeah! Glory, 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 glory.
Ha! Listen. You guys, hey, John, help your dad here. We want to get some information from you guys. And Kathy, take us out of here with something rejoicing because of what God has done in this place today. Amen? Listen, man, God is good all the time. Amen? Woo!
Congratulations are in order. You found the answer.
You found the Lord.
Well, it's the real life across the border. Congratulations
are in order. Congratulations are in order.
You found the answer.
You found the Lord.
Well, it's the real life across the border. Congratulations are in order. Yes, 'cause He set me free.
He set me free.
And He broke the bonds of prison for me.
I'm glory bound my Jesus to see. Well, glory to God, He set me free.
He did, He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me.
I'm glory bound my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Some glad morning time, hallelujah, by and by and by, I'll fly away.
Father God, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Independence Day. I thank You, Lord, that we have been set free from the bondage of sin. Lord, that we have been redeemed and delivered. Lord, I pray that You would watch over us, keep us safe. God, I pray that there would be no forest fires started, Lord, by fireworks and carelessness. Lord, watch over us. Bring us back together on Wednesday night. And Lord, we rejoice with the angels in heaven over two lives that have been set free and sanctified today for Your glory and for Your honor. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. God bless you.